The Gospel of John, and we'll read in chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 44. John 12, 44. John 12, 44 says, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that day. Over these verses, I have put a caption, the hope of this world. And you might say, well, I don't see much hope there in those verses. But we'll find it. We'll get to it. We're going to see, first of all, the condition of the world. We read here that the condition of the world, verse 46, is in darkness. It's surprising at times how we as Christians forget what God has said about the world in which we live. And we are amazed at the condition of the world. But yet God has been very clear to say, to tell us, that the world is in darkness. Just, you know, for an example, some of you heard the little report that was given, a few mentions of El Salvador, where we live, and the conditions that surround us. The murders, every day. Thievery. It's every day, and of course they always pick a different stoplight, but as you're sitting in traffic, it's not uncommon to have someone on a motorcycle pull up next to a car, the guy in the back with a gun, put the gun to your head and say, give me everything you have. You're talking on your telephone, the window's rolled down. Well, serves you right. It is against a lot of talk on the phone while you drive. But anyway, there you are. Stopped in traffic. Yakety yak yak yak. They come by, grab your phone. You think, what is going on? What is wrong with the world? But God has said, the world is in darkness. But as we've already been reminded, Brian has mentioned of the personal. It's just not so much to think of the world and the terrible chaos in which it is. Now, I don't know much about Kamloops. Maybe it's the safest place in the world to live. I don't know. Don't know much about Winnipeg or Edmonton or different places represented here. Most likely, El Salvador is not that different than anywhere else. But the reason that the world is in the condition that it is in is because of the heart of mankind. So, we don't want to so much think about the world. That's easy to think about all the problems out there. Think about all the evil that everyone else is doing. But God looks at it, and He wants to look at it, and I want to look at it a little more personal this evening. The problem, the darkness, is in here. What we see out there is just the manifestation of what's in man's heart. Everyone. We're not just talking about the ones who we call bad. For God has said in His Word, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But turn Matthew 15, please. Matthew 15. Don't lose John 12, because we're gonna come back to it. But listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says here in Matthew 15. We think of the condition of the world in darkness, but we want to bring it down to each one. Like I said, it's so easy to think about everybody else. But you have to realize tonight that your condition before God is a condition of darkness. Darkness. Here we have Matthew 15, verse 19. It says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy." Where does that all come from? From the heart of man. The heart. Your heart. Have you ever stopped to realize that your condition before God, without Christ, you're in darkness? Darkness. Nothing but evil. But yet, as we move on in our verses that we read there in John chapter 12, we come to the character of Christ. In verse 46, we read that He is a light. John 12:46. It says, "I am come," the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, "a light into the world." A light. We have a contrast here. We have the condition of the world, or better yet, your condition. Your condition without Christ. Darkness. And yet we come and we see the character of Christ. A light. Interesting when we think about light and how the Lord uses the light to describe Himself. In several occasions He says, "I am the light of the world." Light is something that is pure. Light is something that cannot be contaminated. There is no such thing as overpowering the light with darkness. You can't do it. You can take the darkness and with the smallest little light, a candle, a lighter, a match, whatever it may be, and this room could be in darkness, pitch black, and someone lights a match and holds it up, and just about everybody here could probably find our way out with that one little light. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am come as a light." Something that is pure. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the only spotless Lamb, without blemish. He is pure. He is holy. And He has come as a light. The Lord Jesus Christ, sinless, pure, holy, spotless, Son of God. But as we read our verses, we come down and find out where this light came to shine. Verse 46, again, "I am come a light into the world." Now this is one of the greatest truths that we have in Scripture. That God became man. He came into this world. Understand it? I don't totally understand. It's a mystery. That God was manifested in flesh. He came into this world. Have you ever stopped to thank God for sending His Son to this world of darkness? Where the light shined? In the world. It's amazing to think. Why would it be? Why would God send His Son, the Savior of the world, to a place of darkness? We say the world has gotten worse. The world is getting worse constantly. And it's true. We are seeing things that we hadn't seen before. But really, the condition of the world has not changed in the sight of God. It is evil. The condition of man's heart is not any worse today than it was 2,000 years ago. It is dark. Evil. And God, knowing exactly the condition of the world, knowing the condition of your heart, He sent His Son into this world. It's an amazing truth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only beloved Son, so that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have where the light shines. it came into this world.
But you know what the sad part is? Men didn't want it.
Turn over to John's chapter. Here, still in John, chapter 3. John chapter 3.
Who wouldn't want light after being in darkness? You know, there's nothing worse than being anywhere, but in our case, in El Salvador. And this time of the year, lots of rain, thunder, lightning, and next thing you know, the lights go out, and it's pitch black. Oh man, you just done, you know, time just stands still until the light comes back. I've never once the light has come back, said, hey, don't turn the light on. I like it. It's dark. Oh, for a few minutes, the quietness is nice. You sit there and just listen. But unfortunately, half the time the lights go out, it's during your favorite TV show or whatever, you know, and you're just, can it be? I missed the Miami Heat basketball game again because the lights went out. As soon as the lights come back on, you're excited. There's light to push out the darkness. But you know what? Read with me here in John chapter 3, verse 17. John 3, 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. The light, this is the light that we're talking about, our Lord Jesus Christ, is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You might say, what is wrong with mankind? Who wouldn't want to receive the light? Well, now the question comes to you. Have you received the light? Are you still in darkness? Why? Why? Do you like the darkness? God sent His Son, the light. But from the very beginning, men didn't want anything to do with it. And we could read through the Gospels and all the times that men rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, the light. And we come to His final hours on earth. And we hear the multitudes cry out, crucify Him! Crucify Him! They would have nothing to do with the light that had come to shine. Oh, that you would be wise tonight. And that you would not be like these men that we have read in John 3 that have nothing to do with the light. As we look at our verses now in verse 47 of John 12, we see the purpose of His coming. The purpose of His coming. I'll read it for you. Verse 47 of John 12 says, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The purpose of His coming. To save the world. Now, that word, world, has quite a few different meanings. God did not send His Son to save the world as in planet Earth. It's been condemned. It will be judged. But God sent His Son to save you and I. The world. The purpose of His coming? Have you ever given it much thought? Why did God send His Son? Why did God send His Son to this world? To save you. Now, I will never forget, and I'm sure there's different ones here, and I know I could go and ask each one of you, and you will never have forgotten the day or the night that you realized, that I realized, the purpose in God sending His Son was to save me. The 20th of June, 1980, for the first time I realized that God
sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent Him all the way to Calvary. He went willingly to give His life. Why? To save me. I remember talking to a young person just a few weeks ago, asking them, and maybe I'll ask you guys, Doctor, think about it for a minute. Are you listening? Do you think that if there's no one else on earth but you, that God would have sent His Son to save you? And this person says, no. No, He wouldn't have done it just for me. You know what? He did it just for me. And that is what He has done just for you. He has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save you. By giving His life, we've already heard, His body given at Calvary, He endured the wrath of God. God placed on Him our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ was judged in our place. And now we find in Scriptures that for those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. There is no wrath for us. Why? Because God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to die for me, for you. He died for you. When we look at these verses and we come to the condition of salvation, you know, there's nothing worse than seeing an announcement, somebody advertising something that you want, and as you read the fine print, you come to the conditions, the requirements. You know, maybe it's a free cheeseburger and fries. Free cheeseburger and fries. Great. And then on the small print, the conditions, the restrictions. You have to buy 10 of them to get one free. And you're thinking, oh man, here I thought it was, you know, salvation has a condition. And you're like, oh, here I was getting all excited. I thought there, but you know what the condition is? We've read it here in verse 46. Believeth on me. Believeth on me. Salvation can be yours. What's the condition? Believe on me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not very hard. You know, I have a niece. Quite often I say granddaughter, people aren't surprised, but no, I have no grandkids yet. It's a niece. I get confused every so often. She believed on the Lord Jesus Christ at age 4. Joni was just reminding me of her the other day. 4! 4 years old! She's 17 now. There's no doubt in anyone's mind what she professed to believe at 4 years of age. The condition that God has put so that you could be saved tonight is so simple. There is no one here that can say, I can't meet His conditions. Believe on me. So simple that a child of 4, 5, 6, and so on can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is all that is needed to be saved. Believe that Jesus died at Calvary. He died for you. He died for me. God punished Him instead of you. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And yet He is here this evening with His arms extended wide. And He makes the invitation. Come. Whosoever will
Believe on me, he said.
Thou shalt be saved.
It's so simple.
Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have the assurance that your sins have been blotted out? As I said at the beginning, put over these verses the hope of the world. It's sad when you hear of people talk about the condition of the world and in whom or in what they have placed their hope. Presidential elections come up. The United States is getting all fired up. You know, people are putting their hopes on another man. They think the one who they voted in, well, he's not doing too good. So now they got their eyes set on somebody else. Around the world is the same. They keep hoping that somebody will come in. Somebody will bring a change that will be for the better. But the hope that I have is based on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have hope. A hope for eternity. And the only condition is simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. Oh, that you would be wise this evening. Don't reject that voice that you hear calling. It's the voice of the Spirit. God wants to save you if you will only trust Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. We'll pray, Father.